Welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report, chatting with Chris Vermeulen. He is the founder of The Technical Traders, also joins me every 2 weeks to share what the charts are showing him and what he's sharing with some of his subscribers. We're going to start off with the U.S. equity markets. It's been quite the run that U.S. markets have been on. I'm looking at the S&P chart, and ever since October, we have had pretty much every week moving higher, except for last week, which was just slightly down, but I think that's 7 out of 8 weeks. Chris, in total, though, what do you think? Is this market finally getting a little bit tired? Should we finally see some sort of a more significant correction here for U.S. equities?
Yeah, well, you know, I've been talking about a correction for a couple of weeks, expecting one to kick in, and we haven't seen it yet. And the key is not to fight the trend. So, I mean, you can call a move, but the key is as long as you're not trading and fighting it, you're fine. So at this point, yes, the markets look primed and ready. They actually look more ready now than ever because the VIX hit a multi-month low. There's just no fear in the market. And everything is screaming in terms of cycle analysis. Even the market's been moving and pushing its upper Bollinger Bands, meaning it's moving beyond its normal momentum kind of moves. And things are getting really frothy. And, you know, we are in one of the strongest weeks for equities of the year. This is the week. And you really can't fight the trend this week. Everybody's in holiday mode. They're all getting ready for Christmas, Thanksgiving. And this is just when stocks tend to rip to the upside, and that's what they're doing. But I think they're going to come to an end because this week feels like an exhaustion type of move. And when I say that, I mean, we saw a big gap up in the S&P 500 and in almost all the major indexes across the board, a big gap up, and then they just kept on running. And, you know, we've seen some other really interesting things unfold, and that would be the Russell 2000 had a tremendous move on Monday. We saw this massive gap to the upside, and then it rallied over 2%. And it's interesting because this is what kind of makes me feel like it's an exhaustion type gap. There's absolutely no fear in the equities market. The put-call ratio is low, meaning investors or traders are not buying put options, protection for their trades, that they're not worried the market's going to collapse. They're not buying any insurance. And then on top of that, the VIX is down at multi-month lows where we've seen massive sell-offs trigger in the equities market. And then we saw this big move in small-cap stocks. And to me, this is where the exhaustion is, where all the average investor, they're all piling into the riskiest group of stocks, the small-cap stocks, the Russell 2000. And it had a big pop yesterday. We've seen this happen back in May. We saw it happen in July. We saw a big run and pop like this in September. Each time within 3 to 5 trading days, the stock market rolled over and sold off in a big way. So I think after this week, the strongest week of the year for equities, we've got a gap to fill on the charts. Gaps almost always get filled. So the market should be selling off to drop and fill those gaps that we saw on Monday. So that's where I stand. We haven't seen the markets reverse yet, but I think it's next week we could see a little bit of a sobering move for those who think the markets aren't going to correct.
All right. One other comment to make regarding that VIX, though, is that we have seen a huge short position, even take out some of those recent elevated short positions from just a couple years ago when we did get a pretty big market correction. So something else to consider there. But I have been talking a lot about this move over the last few weeks. And one of the consistent comments that I have heard is that because of how well the markets have done this year, it's forcing money managers, whether they like it or not, to show that they are invested around year end here. Do you buy into that excuse as well, Chris, that that's also contributing to what seems like money just flowing into the markets no matter what's going on?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, it's window dressing. All these fund managers need to move some of their money into the best performing asset classes. So when they get their investors get their monthly statements, they go, oh, good, I've got what everyone else has got. I've got Apple, I've got the leading sectors, right? So it's forcing them to have to move into positions and hold them and make them look like they've done the right thing. And that definitely squeezes the market to the upside. That's what we're definitely seeing and feeling in the markets right now. So, yeah, I think that is a big part of what's going on.
Now, what sort of levels would you be looking for in a correction here? There's a number of new moving averages we can look at, or some of the recent lows that came in throughout this year that each one was at a higher level. So what levels would you think that a reasonable correction would come to?
Well, there's the question, I guess it depends on what type of correction. I mean, if we're going to have a correction similar to what we saw back in May and in August and I guess September, October, if we're going to have an actual kind of full out correction, I mean, we could see the market pull back to the 3000 mark, fairly easily. I think that would be the kind of first real key level. But there is potential for it to, as you said, if you were to connect the lows from the corrections this year, that would put us somewhere down around 2,029.50 on the S&P 500, which is, it's a long ways down from where we are. I think that's roughly 6% down, 5.5-6% to the downside from where we are, which bodes with all the other corrections we've seen. So it wouldn't be out of the norm with the current volatility levels in terms of the rallies and the sell-offs we've seen this year. So there is quite a bit of downside potential. But even if it does correct down to that level, by no means are we even close to a bear market yet. It'll take a lot more damage for a bear market to potentially start. So at this point, markets are frothy. Looking for a pullback. We're still in a bull market. And at this point, you still have to be looking to buy the dips. And until we get the breakdown, which eventually will come, that's when we'll be looking to get short or buy inverse ETFs. But at this point, I mean, we can quickly play these sell-offs that last a couple of weeks, but by no means are they anything close to a bear market starting.
Okay, and I think that's a very important distinction there. One being that there's a lot of downside that needs to happen for a bear market to actually take hold. And two, you're not necessarily trying to pick the top, right? You're kind of waiting for some sort of a turn and then playing that downtrend for, who knows, maybe a couple days, but probably at least a couple weeks. Let's also talk about some of the safe havens too. Bonds have been bouncing back. If we look at the yield on the 10-year, just about 3 weeks ago, it was almost 2%, and now all of a sudden we're down to 1.7, right around 1.7, just under 1.75%. What has the bond market been telling you also about money flows? Maybe people getting a little bit more defensive in that sense?
Yeah, they are. You know, we've been seeing a little bit of divergence between, you know, bonds have been going up and gold has been going down, and they're both seen as a safe haven, but I think they're also both traded as a safe haven by different groups. And you know, you look at the bonds, we've seen pretty much all the bonds across the board, the 2-year, 5-year, 10-year, 30-year, they've all moved up over the last week and a half, 2 weeks. And I think that is kind of big money knowing they need to start getting a little defensive because they're expecting some type of short-term weakness within the bull market that we're in. And that's what they tend to do. They'll move to bonds for a bit, stock market will go soft, and bonds will rally higher as everyone moves out of stocks into bonds. So we are seeing, to me, I kind of consider it kind of the smart money is moving into bonds as a safe haven play. And we're not really seeing, though, the average trader or investor pile into the safe havens. I mean, today metals are up, but they're really underperforming. And I think that is kind of more of the bias of the herd mentality, that people just aren't afraid of the stock market correcting and they're dumping their gold miners and their gold shares and things like that. So I think bonds are an early sign that something's going to happen in the equities market. I think half of the move to the upside in bonds is already done. I think if the stock market rolls over, I think bonds are only going to move up the same amount that we saw happen from the low till now in November. So I think a lot of that move is done, but there's still more upside in bonds.
So what's it going to take to get gold moving then? Is that simply just waiting for the market to actually break down?
Yeah, I think we need to see fear in the market. And when the market starts to roll over and the VIX starts to spike, that's when we're actually going to start to see fear. And that kind of fear is what's going to start to move people into the more into the gold and gold miners. And I think that will kind of be the sign. So we're not seeing that type of fear. Right now we're seeing smart fear. Big hedge funds and money managers saying, whoa, this market's overdone, let's move to bonds. It's like a no-brainer type of move. It's let's play it safe. But the average investor is like, stocks are up, let's buy more, let's buy some small caps, and let's get rid of the gold miners, they're underperforming, and get out of gold. So until there's fear, those people who are chasing these small caps higher, once they start to take a beating, they're going to sell those other stocks, and they're going to move into the precious metals. But they need to have a shot of fear strike through them before they're going to move back into the metals.
Yeah, I think that's a good comment. That fear that was in the market for most of this year actually is really dissipated. And you know what? It's not like we've gotten better economic data or even better comments on the trade war. I guess we have gotten a couple better comments, but quite frankly, nothing's happened there. So fear definitely has kind of left the markets, at least for the time being. Let's also talk about another sector you and I chat about, that is energy. But we're going to be chatting about natural gas here. Natural gas is starting to roll over. It had a nice little run throughout October, reaching almost $3, but now we're right back to about $2.50, just over $2.50. Do you think that we could be seeing some weakness in the natural gas sector?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've been actively trading the natural gas this year. It's been a really great investment or trading tool. We caught this massive run we saw back in August to the upside. We caught the October bottom and rally up into November, and then we've shorted the November kind of high, and we just got out of our natural gas position with an inverse because it's just been such a wild mover. I wouldn't say it's wild. It's had beautiful, strong momentum moves that you can actually get in, ride the trend for a little bit till you hit your target levels, and then you can just jump off it, wait for a new signal. And so we've done that three times this year with natural gas, and it is on its way down. It's in kind of free fall mode as we speak. But I do feel as though it's about to put in a bottom. It's been making a series of higher lows and higher highs on the daily chart. And most of the downside here is done with natural gas. And now it needs to start to form some type of bottoming pattern. Could take a few weeks, could take a month or so. But I think the quick drop is done. And now it's going to be setting up, I think, for another winter rally. I think it's got a lot of upside potential. I think it'll break $3. But it needs to, you know, form a bottom first. I'm not a big fan of trying to catch a falling knife and pick bottoms or tops. So I would rather get in a little later and know that it's put in a bottom and it's starting a rally mode than try to grab this when you just see big long red bars that could continue to happen for several more days. You never know.
Yeah. All right, Chris, we're going to wrap it up there. Always interesting chatting with you because, you know what, you take a look at all these markets and simply just trade what the chart is telling you. Plus, I think that last comment, don't necessarily try to pick a top or a bottom, wait for a bit of a turn and then ride that wave. Give up a little bit of a percentage, be ready to invest, but trying to pick that bottom or trying to pick a top, man, they can go on for much longer than people think. And that unfortunately just puts you in a tough position just even make back your money. Chris, good chatting with you. Everyone, click that link below. Go visit the Technical Traders website and keep up to date on what Chris is covering. Thanks, Chris.
Hey, thanks, Corey. Always a pleasure.